Good morning, my beloved Patreon subscribers, and welcome back to Morning Coffee. It is Thursday, July 15th. A happy middle of July to you, my friends, and a happy Thursday to you. Thursday, as you will know, is the day of the Holy Apostles and Saint Nicholas, according to the Byzantine liturgical weekday system. Now, the fact that we celebrate the Holy Apostles and Saint Nicholas, one of the prominent successors to the Holy Apostles, and also, very importantly, a participant in the First Ecumenical Council, that manifests in a special way the continuity of the Church in the era of the Church with the very beginnings of the missionary activity of the Apostles and their vocation. The positioning of the celebration of the Holy Apostles and Saint Nicholas on a Thursday does have a certain logic to it within that structure that is the Byzantine liturgical week. Why does it make sense to celebrate the Holy Apostles on a Thursday? Well, first of all, I will note that Thursday is a transitional day. And it's also liturgically a transitional day in that traditionally it's not as liturgically prominent, if I could put it this way, as a Wednesday and Friday on which we fast usually, you know, on Wednesdays and Fridays, on which we, if it's Great Lent, have the celebration of the Liturgy of Pre-Sanctified Gifts, but not on other days. I can't get deeper into that today, but the Thursday, similar to a Tuesday, actually, is a certain transitional pivotal point. And so the Holy Apostles, who are transitional figures in the sense of carrying that message, that good news of Christ's death and resurrection into the world after all of that happened, right? They are the ones who inaugurate that whole era of the Church as vessels of the message and of the grace of the Holy Spirit that abundantly poured out upon them and the rest of the Church on Pentecost. So they are transitional figures in a different sense from Saint John the Baptist, who celebrated on that Tuesday, right? Tuesday being also, like I said, in a certain sense, a transitional day between the beginning of the week and its center on the Wednesday, right? Saint John the Baptist is that transitional figure from the Old Testament to the New, paving the way or preparing the ways of the Lord. So in a certain sense, it is not completely chronological with respect to salvation history, the structure of the Byzantine liturgical week, but it does have a certain chronology. So as we walk through our week, our every week, we are making our own, my friends, the story of salvation history by living through it in the way that we do. Prayerfully, we are embracing that story. We're really living the creed by paying attention and living the church calendar in various ways and on various levels in these various liturgical cycles that are constantly going on in the calendar, including the weekday system. But another aspect of a Thursday is that it is the fifth day of the week in the Greek and in the Hebrew. It's called Pempti, the fifth day in Greek, and also in the Hebrew, it's called the fifth day, Yom Hamishi. So it reflects also, in a certain sense, the theology of the fifth day of creation, on which God created what? God created on the fifth day of creation, according to Genesis 1, the living creatures of the sea and of the sky, the birds and the fish, before he went on the sixth day to create the beasts and animals of the earth, and on the sixth day, the human being, man and woman, he creates on the sixth day. the human being can be seen as this pinnacle or crowning jewel of God's creative work, in the sense, my friends, that the human being is created in God's image and likeness. This is only said about the human being. So transitioning to a Friday through this Thursday, we contemplate a certain other kind of transition, right? Because everything is connected, that the Thursday is leading us into the Friday. And what very importantly happened on a Friday? Well, that mystery of Christ's redemptive work on the cross, when the old Adam dies the same day, the sixth day, right, on which God creates man, the old Adam also dies on the cross, so that the new Adam can be born in the resurrection. So, my friends, as we walk through the church calendar, we're called constantly to go back to the beginnings, to our beginnings, to recognize them as our beginnings, the beginnings of the church and the salvific ministry of the holy apostles. We're also called to remember the very beginnings of the world and God's creative work in which we are called to be involved by the work of our hands. I'd like also to mention to you a certain psalm, namely Psalm 18/19, the first verses of this psalm that are seen to be talking about the work of the holy apostles, and you will hear in services dedicated to the memory of the holy apostles the verses of this psalm that begins with the words, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims the work of his hands. Day to day utters speech, and night to night proclaims knowledge. There are no speeches or words in which their voices are not heard. Into all the earth has their voice gone out." I think everybody's heard this at services of the holy apostles. "Into all the earth has their voice gone out." If you hear this in Greek, it sounds like this: "Is pasan tin gin exilthen ofton vos afton," or in the Slavonic, "Vo vsu zemlyu izyty vishchanie ich," and their words to the ends of the world. So this psalm, and also its first verse, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims the work of his hands," you hear that also as one of the verses of a prokimenon, that is a verse that comes before the reading, usually before the reading of an epistle in church. Well, you might wonder what it has to do with the holy apostles. You might say, well, is it because the fifth day God creates, on the fifth day God creates the birds? The firmament proclaims the work of his hands? Not really. The reason that verse occurs at services of the apostles, don't worry about it, by the way, if you had no idea that this psalm is connected to the memory of the holy apostles and it's considered a prophecy about their work. But I'm just telling you that the reason that first verse occurs in connection with the apostles is that it happens to be the first verse of a psalm that has the following verses: "There are no speeches or words in which their voices are not heard, and into all the earth has their voice gone out, and their words to the ends of the world." Okay? But today we can think about "the firmament proclaims the work of his hands," also in connection with the apostles being celebrated on the fifth day of the week. Okay, that's enough about the holy apostles. Let's just say prayerfully together, "Holy apostles," and also Saint Nicholas, pray to God for us today. Let's stay connected with them in prayer. And if you somehow pray the hours, you will know that we actually remember the holy apostles and Pentecost on a daily basis at the third hour, which is around 9 o'clock in the morning, our time, right, according to the mechanical clock. We remember that Pentecost happened at that hour in the morning, and we have that triparion to the holy apostles. I'm not going to say it with you today, my friends, but we will see as we walk through the church calendar that certain memories repeat themselves and we are called more often to reconnect with the holy apostles than with many other saints. Just like even more often, we connect in prayer with the Most Holy Theotokos because our attention is drawn to certain figures that really tell us more or more abundantly manifest God's whole plan that is at work in our own individual lives, not just on this big scale throughout the whole history of the world, but we are, like I said, embracing and relating to ourselves these mysteries of God's work and his communion with us, right? We are making all of these mysteries central to our own lives. But let's move on to the new calendar saints of today that are celebrated, and their hymnography is connected with the hymnography of the Holy Apostles. So, new calendar folks, you celebrate on this Thursday, a great saint, equal to the Apostles, great Prince Vladimir, and the enlightener of Rus, but we're not going to talk about him today. We're going to talk about him when he comes around on the older calendar in 13 days. Why? Well, because the Ukrainian Orthodox Church and the Russian Orthodox Church and those cultures that, consider him our own, they are mostly on the older calendar, not all of them, but that's why I want to talk about him then, okay? Instead, I will talk about the other holy saints, the martyrs celebrated today, holy martyr Kyrikos and his mother Julita, or Julita, martyrs of the early 4th century. The holy martyrs Kyrikos, he had a Latin name that's Quiricus, but in the Greek calendar, he's called Kyrikos, and his mother, Julita, lived in the city of Iconium in the province of Lycaonia in Asia Minor. Iconium today is called Konya in south-central Turkey. Now, Saint Julita was descended from an illustrious family and was a Christian. She was wealthy, she was widowed early on, and she raised her little boy, who at the time of their martyrdom was only 3 years old, Kyrikos or Quiricus, on her own. And when persecutions of Christians flared up in Iconium during the Emperor Diocletian's reign, Saint Julita fled from the city with her little son, who was only 3, as I mentioned, and also 2 trustworthy servants of hers, leaving behind her home, her property, and her other servants. Yes, she was, we say servants, but she was a slave owner, my friends. Anyway, she concealed her noble rank and hid out first at a city called Selefkia, and then went further to Tarsus. Tarsus, you know, the famous birthplace of St. Paul. Anyway, there in around the year 305, she was recognized and exposed as a Christian. She was arrested, brought to trial before the governor named Alexander, and strengthened by the Lord, she fearlessly responded to the judge's questions and firmly confessed her faith in Christ. And what happened was that her little son, this three-year-old Kyrikos, in his the Greek version of his name, he was there too, and he saw how his mother then was tortured, and she kept professing her faith, and the governor, who was seated on this high tribunal, who was at that point having Julita beat with rods, he had the little boy next to him, and he tried to calm the little boy down, who was crying, who wanted to go to his mother, and the governor tried to seat the boy on his lap. Meanwhile, Julita kept professing, "I am a Christian, I will not offer sacrifice to demons," and so forth. The little boy, seeing his mother being tortured, kept trying to break loose from this governor, and little Kirikos did succeed in breaking free from the governor's lap, saying, "Let me go to my mother." In the life of these two saints, of these holy martyrs, it says that Kirikos also says, "I am a Christian." And the governor threw the boy down as he tried to break free. He did, but the governor pushed him down from this tribunal and kicked him down the stone steps of that tribunal. And Kirikos, the little toddler, struck his head on the sharp edges of the steps and died. Now, Saint Julita, seeing her son lying dead at the bottom of the stairs, it says in this life, remarkably for us and shockingly for us, she gave thanks to God that he had permitted her child to be perfected before her. I know that a lot of you out there will find this shocking, as do I. This is the faith, my friends, of the martyrs and their the way that they saw life, as not they were not interested in living this life as a lie or having denied their faith, and were, yeah, they counted it as nothing to give it away, and for their children to do so as well, to own, you know, their faith, their identity, and their fidelity to Christ. So after further tortures, aside from that, the greatest of the tortures, I think, that she saw her only child, this widow, saw her little boy die, Julita was finally beheaded with a sword. May these holy martyrs, Kirikos and his mother Julita, pray to God for us today, even as they might radically challenge the way we define success for our children and what we want for our children. I can't say more about that, even though there is a lot more to say about it. I will let you comment on it, my friends, if you would do so. Now, on the older calendar, we celebrate today, on this Thursday, the placing of the honorable robe of the Theotokos at Vlaherne. At Vlaherne, that is an area in Constantinople, where for this occasion, a great church of the Theotokos was built. So Vlaherne, where a famous church of the Theotokos was found, here was placed a holy object, the robe of the Theotokos. How did it get there? Well, during the reign of the Byzantine Emperor Leo the Great, who reigned in the mid to latter 5th century, from AD 457 to 474, during Byzantine Emperor Leo the Great's reign, these two brothers set off on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem from Constantinople, two brothers named Galbius and Candidus. They were associates of this Emperor Leo the Great. So they went to Palestine to venerate the holy places, and in a small settlement near Nazareth, they stayed in the home of a certain old Jewish woman, and in her house they noticed a room where many lamps were lit, incense burned, and sick people would come and would gather. When they asked this lady what the room contained, the pious woman did not want to give an answer for a long time, and after persistent requests, she did tell them that she had a very precious sacred item, namely the robe of the Mother of God, and people would come and many miracles and healings would happen here after their prayers to the Most Holy Theotokos. The way that this woman acquired this holy object was that it was handed down to her because the Most Holy Virgin, before her dormition, bequeathed one of her garments to a pious Jewish maiden, and this Jewish maiden was an ancestor of this old woman about whom we're talking today. So the Jewish maiden who had been given this garment by the Most Holy Theotokos gave the garment before her own death, this virgin gave it to another virgin. And so it was handed down from generation to generation in one family, actually. They had, I guess, these consecrated virgins in every generation in this one family. Now, the garment was taken. I don't know if they stole it from this old woman or if she gave it to them, because the story is not very clear as to that. But in a jeweled chest, this garment, having been brought by these two brothers to Constantinople, they handed it over to Saint Gennadius, Patriarch of Constantinople, and the Emperor Leo, having learned of the sacred treasure and having become convinced of the incorrupt state of the Holy Robe and of its authenticity, they had it placed in this church at Vlaherne, that was near the seacoast in Constantinople, and at this time the church was constructed and then solemnly placed in the year 458. It was solemnly in procession brought into this church and placed within a new reliquary. So let's say, Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Today we celebrate in her honor this event. Now I will have to wrap up this podcast because I'm trying to keep them shorter for you, my beloved listeners, so that it's not too much to listen every day. I will end the podcast today repeating a verse from that psalm that's connected to the memory of the Holy Apostles, Psalm 18:19, verse 2, that I suggest we can carry into our day. The psalm verse goes like this: day to day utters speech, and night to night proclaims knowledge. This reminds us, my friends, that each day is connected. What we did yesterday and the words and knowledge that we chose to acquire yesterday and last night, well, it speaks to our next night and our next day. So we keep growing, we keep accumulating knowledge. Right? So this is the wisdom passed on to us through this psalm, that from generation to generation also tradition is passed on in this way, through this created gift of God that is time, from day to day, from night to night, and so forth. That's it for me for today. My beloved listeners, have a wonderful Thursday. Leave your comments, please, as you've been doing. Don't forget to like the podcast, and I will chat with you tomorrow on Friday. Bye, everyone.